Good afternoon to everyone. Well, if I read every verse that I had marked here, we'd be out at 2. But since my boss said we needed to be out at 1, I may read one verse. I don't know. And I don't know where I'll stop. It may be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. It's a high-tech city, Rocket City, home of Dr. Wannar von Braun, the one man that put us on the moon. And I tell you, in my lifespan, I watched it go from a farmer's town. When you go up one street, around the courthouse, and down the other, you'd covered Huntsville. No longer. Let me just briefly state to you that we've had increase in Huntsville. We recently just added 2 more families to our list. In Atlanta, the lady down there called me this past week and said she had 3 more new ones. So very encouraging. And Macon, Georgia, they've had some increase, the promise of more. So God is blessing the church. Increase is coming in, brethren. And you know, I think that's pretty evident when God is manifesting himself. When we hear Mr. Mark Armstrong tell us how that the mail has increased, how the income has increased, especially, brethren, the loss that we have suffered over our leader. And I know that you feel as I do, the great loss that we've had. But we have to continue on. But I'm ever thankful, and I never want to forget about the wonderful teachers that we've had. People like Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, Mr. Garner Ted Armstrong. I'll tell you, brethren, and other great men like Mr. Richard Rice, a great teacher. And I'm so thankful for those people. David John Hill, and I could go on with others. Had some of the greatest speakers, best speakers in the world. We indeed have been blessed. But you know, some people might consider Satan, let me insert this. Satan always looks for a weak spot. Always. In an individual, in a church. They might have a misconception and think of us as being weak. They better think again. Brethren, we're not moving. We're not changing. As I told them in Mobile, Alabama, last weekend, we're not changing any doctrine. I stated to you, as Mr. Ted Armstrong stated to me, when he told me, "I don't know anything else, James." I don't either. And I'm not caring about anything else because, brethren, I've proved this. I proved it before I was ever baptized. I went to the Birmingham, Alabama church for 2 years, drove 100 miles there and back every Sabbath, only missed 2 Sabbaths out of the 2 years that we went down there. But we didn't consider it a chore. We considered it an opportunity. We look forward to it year after year. So I've chosen today to speak to you about loyalty. Loyalty, you can connect it with faith, hope. And I go back to the beginning. You know, God and his magnificent wisdom with his son Jesus Christ and the great plan that they laid out many, many centuries ago. And that divine plan, they created angels. And they shouted around the throne of God. They were servants to God. They were loyal. They were loyal to God. But you know, one of the first sins that ever appeared was pride. Satan, Lucifer, who was an archangel, was the most beautiful of all. He was lifted up in pride. And that pride covered more than just his looks. He thought he was greater than he really was. He thought that he could usurp authority that he didn't obtain. So what did he try to do, brethren? He tried to overthrow the throne of God. He tried to overthrow the throne of God. It was a takeover situation. Make no mistake about it. What did God do? Brethren, he and all of his demons with him were cast back down to this earth. And I never shall forget that Mr. Herbert W. told us before they went to the moon, and the awesome hopes, especially people there in my town, were, and I know all over the world, were certainly watching their TVs, and great joy spread the country when man set his foot on the moon. They found those great craters. Mr. Herbert W. had already said that's what they would find. There they were. How did he know? Because those meteorites that God was forcing Satan and his demons back to this earth, brethren, that's how it happened. Exactly how it happened. What did God do when pride, Satan was lifted up in pride and tried to take over? He cast him out of heaven. He got him away from the throne of God. That's exactly what he did. We come on down to the plan of God when he created man, Adam and Eve. You know, I've thought about it a lot of time, brethren, about Adam and Eve and how that God walked with them in the cool of the day. How would you like to have a visit like that? Teaching them his ways, his plan. Oh, how he loved them. Here was his creation. Here was his future family. Yes. He took pride in them. He was so proud of them. He had that agape love, the kind of love that we can hardly grasp toward them. But there again, Satan started with his plan. So, he got a hold of Eve. This is not against the women race, don't get me wrong. God had told them that in the garden, they were in paradise, brethren. They were in paradise. They were there with God. They had everything, abundance of everything. God told them, said, of all the fruits you can eat, but this one, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. What did Satan do? He started out lying. He's the author of the lie. He said, no, you won't die. Yeah, but guess what? You'll know as God knows. You can make your own decisions. You can go your own way. You won't need him. Because if you know what he knows, then why should you need him? You can do your own thing. And the Bible is very short, of course, as to all that happened. He gave us enough. So, Adam, as so many men, we men are weak, was subdued by Eve, overpersuaded, fell for it, bought the deal. How do you like that phraseology? bought it. And because of that, now let me tell you, let me tell you something, brethren. Yes, Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, but he didn't automatically create a Satan just so that he could come and die. But they did have a contingent plan. You understand the difference? They had a plan in case of. Now, if you don't believe it, what about Abraham? When he offered up Isaac, he said, "Now I know." Every indication in the world he didn't know prior to. But Abraham was loyal. He certainly was loyal to God. Make no mistake about it. He gave the greatest gift that a human being could give when he offered up his son. God the Father gave the greatest gift for you and I that man could ever receive when he offered up his son. What will we do about it, brethren? He spilt that innocent blood for you and me, for the sin of the whole world. But let me tell you something. Let me just remind you of something, rather. The difference in you and I and the whole world out there, make no mistake about it, God is going to win the battle. The most of the people will be converted, but they'll be converted at a time when Satan is bound and the earth is going to be full of the knowledge of God. But we have the task of overcoming. And if we're faithful and we're loyal to God and to His church, He will see us through. Remember, the promise is to His people and the church. Christ gave Himself for the church. He's going to marry the church when He returns. The church is His bride. Do you want to be in that bride, or do you want to be aborted and cast out by going your own way? Trying to ascertain something that you have no business. We are to stay in our calling, brethren, that God placed us in, and not try to elevate ourselves. Yes, when Abraham died, remember this point, Isaac inherited everything. Genesis 25:5. I can't turn and read, I don't have time. 25:5. He inherited everything. God has always worked through families. He's all about family. God the Father and Jesus Christ, that's what they're doing right now. You are future sons of God. You're His children. When you're born into that God family, you'll be born in as babes. I don't care how wise you are. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care what position you hold. You're still going to be born as a babe compared to the wisdom of Almighty God, brethren. But we'll have to be loyal to God and His cause if we make it there. If we make it there. Think about how loyal Abraham was to God to offer his son, his only son. He was acquainted with God. Then there was Moses. Was Moses loyal to God? Oh, that's a beautiful story. You know, but Satan, when Moses was born, you know the story, how that they were killing off all the man children, and how his mother fixed something to put him down by the brook, and he was found. God was making provisions then. He knew what he had in Moses. Yes. He wound up in the king's house. He had everything. He had the best education that money could buy. Nothing was withheld from him. Nothing. But guess what? His mother, whom they had called in to nurse him for the duration of that time, had taught him who he was. Taught him he was an Israelite. And you know the story, how that Moses later, and that whole sermon could be given on that. But how Moses saw these Egyptian boys jumping on a little Jew boy. And he had such love and devotion for his people. He went out and slew them. The next day, they were two Jew boys fighting. And he questioned them. And they said, "Oh, you're going to slay us as you did them?" Well, that struck fear in Moses' heart. It was time for God to put a separation. I'm sure that Moses could have gone in to Pharaoh and explained to him, this is my thinking of it. I have no scriptures to back it up. Let me state that. But how much they loved Moses, the investment they had put into him. They'd give him everything in the world. He could have went in and told them how that he was overcharged and he was sorry he had made a mistake. The king had the power to forgive anything physically. Would have forgave him. But he loved his people so much, he wasn't about to make that sacrifice. He loved his people. Loyalty. Loyalty, brethren. He loved his people from within his very fiber, with all of his being. He loved them. But he loved God more. Yes. Then we come to David. No, before I get to that, I'm already over time. There was Moses. He was chosen, and I'm cutting through, you know, for the sake of time. He was chosen to lead his children out of Egypt, and he did as God commanded him. God wrought many miracles through him. We all know the story, how he went on many occasions to Pharaoh, pleaded the case for them. And God's deliverance when the blood was put on the mantle and the post and the death angel passed over, freedom came. Brethren, when the death angel passed over you and I at baptism and we went in that water, and we made our commitment to God. And we told him, as Herbert W. Armstrong said, "I've made a mess of my life. If you can take it and make anything out of it, I'm willing to give it to you." We surrendered everything to him at baptism. And he washed us whiter than snow when he put the precious blood of Jesus Christ on us. And when we came up out of that and the hands were laid on us, God gave us the Holy Spirit, which gives us eternal life. You think what a transition took place at your baptism. You think about what a wonderful promise you have. And then to think there's some that would take that gamble, not even hesitate to take a gamble on that, to try to elevate themselves. Pride is involved. self-esteem. I don't care if you give me 10 ovations. Brethren, I know my own limitations. I'll say that and a dollar bill will get me a cup of coffee. But, so, he got down there after he crossed over, and I'm going on in history, and how that Korah and them rose up against him. You recognize this? God had placed him in that position. Rose up against him. Said, you've taken too much on yourself. Yes. Seeing that we're all righteous. Seeing that we're all equal. Just as great as you are. That's what they were saying in reality. Brought slander. Tried to bring slander on the office that Moses was occupying. Trying to bring slander to Moses. And you know the story, how that God finally divided them and said, on tomorrow God will prove. And the earth opened up and swallowed. Brethren, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We better think two or three times before we try to elevate ourselves in a position we ought not. Because really, you're not qualified for it anyway. If you were, you'd already been there. Hello? So just let me state it this way. If you try to get up any other way, we're going to look at you as a thief and a robber. You're not going to make it. We're not going to bow. We're not going to change a thing, brethren. I'm on, with God as my helper, I'm going to try to stay the course that Herbert W. Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong, through Jesus Christ and God the Father, placed me on and brought me into the body of Christ. God called Moses his friend. He said, if there be any other prophet in the land, I'll speak to him. I'll speak to him by dreams and visions. But as my friend Moses, I'll speak to him face to face, because he's not a meeker man in all the earth. He loved him. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, I had so much. But Mark, I'm going to cut it off after this one. We come to the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know how much you've ever thought of this. And you remember the history, how they were carrying it over the brook. And the horses stumble. And there was a gentleman thought there was the covenant was about to go over. He wanted to catch it with his hand. God smote him dead. I want to ask you a question. What was that ark carrying? It was carrying the law of God. It was carrying the covenant that God had made with Israel. Yes, it was. It was like, it was far greater than our Constitution of the United States. Far greater. You see, he wasn't a Levite. But it scared David so, he was even afraid to touch it himself. Yes, it did. Are you afraid to touch God's anointed. The Bible said the time would come when they would speak evil of the dignity. That's God's anointed. That time is here, brethren. God told us, he said, after having done all to stand, stand. Don't move. Don't be shaken in your faith. You have the truth. You have the plan of God. Stick with it. Have that stick-a-tuity and let nothing come between you and it. Don't let me or anyone else deter you from that way that he speaks of over 100 times in his Bible. And I believe I am allowed to read one scripture. Just real quick. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Now, if you go all the way, brethren, and just quit before the end, he forgets them all. But he said he would not forget your works. He's promised if we're loyal to him. If we're loyal to him. And we have, listen, that loyalty comes on down to the body of Christ, which is his church. The mother church. That's us. We've had some, it seems, that think it's not important to be loyal to the church anymore. Blessed and holy. No, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Well, we'll just start lying on each other. That'll keep you out of the kingdom just quick as killing somebody. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. In the churches, this is Christ speaking. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, brethren, if they don't speak according to this word, and according to his prophecy, it is because there is no light in them. Listen to what they say. Listen to what they say. This decoy a little bit here and a little bit there. I won't accept it. Oh, I get very angry when I even think about it. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of this holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He that which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. Thank you.